This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
We got us our first American-born pope.
Yes, we do.
Pope Leo the 14th.
Rather unique.
Born in Chicago.
By the way, he is no dummy. Not that we thought he was. He speaks, of course, English. Italian. I'm going just off memory here from what I heard earlier today.
On Spanish. The news.
He speaks Italian, Spanish, Portuguese, and French. Can read German and Latin.
Wow.
And got a degree in mathematics.
Grew up on the south side of Chicago. And did you see Wrigley Field today?
No, I didn't. What did they do?
The sign popped up briefly on CNN. And I think it just said, he's one of us. He's one of ours.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Even though the White Sox should have done that because the Cubs taking credit for a south side guy when they're on the north is a...
It's pretty funny.
A little much.
Well, and he's from the South Side and a fan of the Cubs.
So you were saying, Scott, you were late today because you were watching the coverage.
I was. And so they put out the white smoke right after 11 o'clock. I had just gotten out of a meeting with some friends, and I come out to the living room, and they've got the white smoke going up. And so I'm like, oh, my gosh, yeah, this is great. And made my lunch. I did show prep. By 12:05, the lady on the news said that they had been waiting an hour and 3 minutes or something like that, at which point the three of us are going back and forth.
Yeah.
I'm like, geez, put a white outfit on him and get him out on the balcony.
I get him out there.
I didn't end up leaving for work until 12:22. And because I must confess, I find the pomp, I'm not even a Catholic.
I know.
And I find the pomp and circumstance of it all to be riveting. And, you know, we watched Conclave on Tuesday night. We watched The Two Popes last night, which is a great movie. Anthony Hopkins is in that one. And just the ritual of it all, the suspense.
Yeah.
You don't know who it's going to be. And then I think I was watching Chris Jansing on MSNBC. And, you know, you're seeing the doors open up on the balconies and out come a couple of priests and one of the cardinals, and he's reading something off in Italian or Latin, I don't know which. And they, at the time, MSNBC didn't have their translator ready to go, so you don't even know what they're saying, okay? And then apparently the media was given the heads up before Pope Leo the 14th came out. And I remember distinctly Chris Jansing saying, as she's shuffling a piece of paper, she goes, Oh, this is amazing and totally unexpected. The Pope is American. And he was on the short list. Read that, about 15 people.
But the bottom of the short list.
That is correct. He was at Robert Prevost is his government name, but he's now going to go by Leo the 14th. She goes, Robert Prevost of Chicago is the next
You're
pope.
Like, what?
And, you know, there was the Secretary of State, whose name, Sam, you said it earlier today, it escapes me. The Secretary of State for the Vatican was
Pietro Parolin.
Parolin, thank you. He was the odds-on favorite with Vegas.
With at, Vegas?
I'm not kidding. At, I believe, 23% chance of getting it. The cardinal from the Philippines, whose name escapes me as well, was second on the Vegas betting charts.
Yeah.
And then there was another guy from Bologna in Italy who was third. Robert Prevost, who, yes, grew up in Chicago, but spent most of his time in Peru at a diocese there and also in Rome. He was way down on the list. But we should point out, so was Francis in 2012.
Yeah.
He was way down on the list.
So you were a little bit late, later than you normally would be, mm-hmm. because you were watching mm-hmm. the pomp and circumstance,
Couldn't
as was I.
Couldn't get enough.
And as I was kind of, you know, looking at the clock, rushing around to get in here, it was about, I don't know, 12:30. And I realized I didn't see the cat. And, you know, we have that automatic feeder now. And when that thing makes noise, you can find YouTube videos on this. A cat will drop what they're doing from a million miles away and run when sure. they hear that feed noise. And so I just thought it was odd, and I started looking around. And then I look up, and it's like 12:40. I've been looking 10 minutes, 12 minutes, 15 minutes. You have been to my loft, Scott. It mm-hmm. is, it does not take long to find a cat in a loft. I will just tell you that.
Your loft is lovely, but it's not the largest place I've ever been in my life.
I looked under beds. I was telling Dan this when I walked in. I was absolutely stressed out by the time I got here because the craziest thing happened. I lost the cat before I got to work today. Flat out, could not find it. There was nowhere for this cat to hide. It was not under the bed. Looked in the closets. Scott, I got so, like, just flustered. I was looking in the shower. I pulled back the bathtub curtain. The cat didn't go in the bathtub. Do you have a cat? Cats hate water. I was looking in cupboards, shaking the food, calling, nothing. Then I go out to the balcony. Speaking of the Pope, I go out to the balcony.
What?
I was wondering how we were going to bring this all the way full
and
circle.
And I'm thinking, oh my God, did she, like, you know, Pirates fan herself down the balcony.
Oh my gosh.
So
I can't take it anymore. I'm out of here.
So I come in and I'm telling Dan this. The last place, my heart just sunk because I'm looking at the clock and I'm like, I have got to get out of here. I opened the refrigerator. No cat in the fridge. Now I'm just looking at lunatic.
Well, with your history, did you check the dryer?
Dan asked me the same thing. It's
that was
a stackable.
My first question.
Cat cannot get up the dryer, but I opened the closet. Not in the closet.
We didn't have any laundry today.
You guys, I look over.
You don't have a garage door, do you?
And the dishwasher is running. And there was this moment. I had just started the dishwasher.
Dana.
But Scott, listen to me. I had started the dishwasher like 15 minutes ago. Like one of the last things I do before I leave, I was going to start the dishwasher.
That cat would have drowned.
And I am looking at that dishwasher, and there's a moment with my trauma in my background with cats specifically.
With the bras and
yes,
the garage and, door and openers.
And the dryer. I can't even. There was a moment, I'm just going to be honest with all y'all. I thought, I cannot. There's no way I'm opening that.
That's when you leave it for Johnny to come
I
home.
I actually thought, I haven't even talked to him about this. I thought I can do one of two things here because it's over. If the cat is in there, it is over. I can either open it, and I don't think I can handle it. My heart will not be able to handle that, mm-hmm. or I can just walk away and leave it.
Let him deal with the death.
And I said this to Dan. I go, there was a moment where I was like, ah, and then you say, Dan, or Sam says it first.
It's like Schrodinger's dishwasher.
I have never heard of the term Schrodinger. Explain what this is.
What's a Schrodinger dishwasher?
Schrodinger's cat. It's a thought experiment about a cat in a box, and is it alive or dead, and you don't know. It can be the same at any one moment.
But what is the experiment meant? Like, there's a cat in a box, and you have to decide. You also said there was, like, poison in the box.
So
do I look?
It's based on philosophy, right?
Okay, so yes.
Do you look into the unknown to find out the answer, or do you not? And so the idea of Schrodinger's cat, there's a cat in a box with poison in it. You don't know if the cat's dead or not. You can either open it and help the cat if the cat's alive, or you can open it and find out the cat is dead.
But at this moment, that cat is both alive and dead, and also not dead and not alive. It's a thought experiment.
So the yes, and I understand this is why I took one philosophy class and then never went back, because it boggles the mind. Do you look or do you not look? And I'm telling you, Scott, I am embarrassed at the amount of time I stared at that dishwasher.
Did you end up opening it?
I did.
Was the cat in there?
And the first thing that came rushing out is the steam.
Don't say fur.
Is the steam.
Okay.
And so, you know, I know now, okay, 15 minutes, it's over, and I just shut the dishwasher. I'm like, So then Dan goes down this Schrodinger's thing. I go, I didn't even know this was a thing.
Wait, did you ever find the cat or not?
Long story short.
It was standing behind her.
The Pope is on the screen on the left. The dishwasher is now slammed shut again. I'm freaking out. I'm late to work. I make one more run to the bedroom because I left my curling iron on. So then if the cat's alive, I'm going to burn the damn place down. I open the door. The damn cat's staring right at me.
Wait, what door?
My bedroom door. And the cat's not supposed to be in the bedroom. It knows it. And I let out a litany of words that I will not share on this very program.
Did one of them start with an M and the other with an F?
The cat looks at me like I'm an idiot. And I'm like, where have you been?
The cat wasn't lost.
Yeah. They can't figure out what's wrong with you.
Everywhere. I moved clothing in the closet. I looked under and I was, oh my God, I was frantic.
But you were relieved.
How do you know the cat knows it's not allowed in the bedroom?
Bingo.
Because if you go, it turns around and it knows. It just knows.
And can I go back to Scott, you saying the cat would have drowned?
Well, it fills with water.
It would have been the heat.
Well, the heat would have killed
it. And I don't want to break that down because, look, I've had the issue with before. I don't want to break it down. I was truly panicked because the cat is just always right there.
Can I ask a serious question, and you're not going to take it as seriously as I intend for it to be taken?
Okay.
After the incident with the bra.
Yeah.
After the incident clearly with the dryer.
For people who have not been listening for almost 14 years.
You had a cat who tried to commit suicide with a bra.
That was hanging on the door. Do not ever hang a bra on a door, ladies. The cat will find it. It gets twisted up in it.
This one is not a joke. I'm not trying to make light of it. You dried in the dryer Tinksy, the cat, or whatever his name was.
When I was 18 years old, lost one in a dryer.
By lost.
It was traumatizing. I don't want to talk about it.
Came out a little
that's
fluffier
why,
than
that's
it went
why
in.
The dishwasher today, it like I know that you know, Scott. I was panicked looking at that dishwasher.
And then several years ago, one cat became two when you put down the garage door.
That was not me that put down the garage door, but the garage door did come down on the cat.
And one cat became two.
He passed. Yes.
Did you ever think maybe it's time to get a turtle?
Yeah.
Or a hamster. Maybe a dog.
If I lost a turtle, I would never find it.
Maybe a bird. Maybe you could teach it to say a couple of bad words.
Oh, I said a couple of bad words today.
Your luck.
Anyone who has a cat,
is
Scott,
not good.
But anyone who has a cat, you know, they have an attitude.
Yeah, they think they own the
house. Shook the food. I brought out catnip, and I'm like, oh my gosh, where are you?
I'm just thinking a different kind of animal might be in your future.
Yeah, that's probably.
You're a walking cat mortuary.
I know. I know.
Wow.
I do not have, but you know what? Kitty's fine. I got
and
to work.
We're thrilled to hear about
but
that.
I remember
and
when I walked in thinking, like, I actually was on time today and then couldn't find the damn cat.
Dana Wright.
But we did get a new Pope. It's kind of cool.
Leo
the
14th.
The dishes are clean.
They're very clean. Sam Stephen III. My name's Scott here on KMBZ.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, can we address this story down in Gardner in southwestern Johnson County?
So much about it just breaks my heart. There are 2.5 weeks left of school, Scott.
Yeah.
They are now scrambling to figure out how to help all those kids finish school.
So there is an apartment complex called the Aspen Apartments in Gardner. 700 people live there.
Roughly 200 units, yeah.
Yeah. By the way, live there for the next 35 minutes because they have to be out, it's our understanding, at 6 o'clock. They were given literally, the conditions there, the city argues, are uninhabitable. There are some issues with the roads leading into the parking lot.
But if it was uninhabitable today, it's mm-hmm. uninhabitable a month ago, it's uninhabitable. I'm not saying it's not uninhabitable. Why not let the kids finish school?
And I should also point out, by the way, the community is rallying around yes. them, trying to raise some money, find them places to stay quickly. But you've got 700 people in this apartment complex, Aspen Place in Gardner, who were told this week, it was on Tuesday, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, on Tuesday, you have 48 hours to get out and find another place to live. So you literally have to move all of your belongings and find a new place to move them to in the next 48 hours. And I asked this question seriously of the city of Gardner. To Dana's point earlier, you know, we've got kids who are still in school. Well, some of the people, many of the people who live in Aspen Place Apartments or whatever it's called, Aspen Place, yeah. They have jobs that they have to go to on Wednesday and today, Thursday. When are they ever going to find time
to move out?
To move and to find a place to move to.
Why couldn't
they have at least given them the weekend?
From the district spokesperson, it's similar to a natural disaster where we have all of these people all at once with nowhere to live. Students are now scattered throughout the district boundaries and beyond. And to your point, this I need to say it a different way, Scott. If it was so bad, and I'm not saying it wasn't, water pressure was an issue, and the mayor issued some sort of statement saying, look, if there's a fire, the water issues have been so spotty and sporadic that there's water pressure, there's not water pressure.
They've had a number of water main breaks.
Yeah, that the fire department wouldn't be able to fight the fire.
Right.
I'm not saying that's not an emergent situation. But if that's been the way those residents have been living for 6 months, why not give them 2 weeks to move out?
A minimum of 2 weeks.
A minimum of 2 weeks to move out. If you need to put a pumper truck down the street just in case for 2 weeks, do it. And at least let the kids get through school.
So the issues have been going on for about 2 years. The complaints date back that far. I think the main question here really is how do you enforce these? And I don't know anything about the people who own this complex, but basically slumlord apartment owners to actually make it a habitable place to live. There are laws about this. When you pay rent, you have an expectation of habitability. And so when you have a fire call out to your apartment complex, and the reason this place was deemed uninhabitable and condemned was because on Monday, or maybe it was Sunday, I can't remember, it doesn't matter, a pumper truck was called out on a fire call. The pumper truck fell through the street.
It couldn't physically get through.
No, the street crumbled underneath it.
Okay, so then where was the call for action as this was deteriorating 10 years ago, 5 years ago? And I know we can't look back that it's scramble time now to help these families, mm-hmm. but the city did say we have been called out multiple times and told the property owner to make repairs and they just didn't. Is there no follow-up?
The apartment complex that I lived in, the water was shut off probably every other day for 4 to 6 hours because there were so many consistent problems.
But whose responsibility is the water pressure? Is that the water department or the apartment complex?
Well, it's habitability, right? So you have to have running water. And something tells me that the water to the building is running just fine.
Okay. All of the things you guys said are good points. But I go back to what Dana suggested. Why not give the families a little bit more time? It is tone deaf to suggest that these people who live in this apartment complex, the 700 of them, can A, move their stuff, still go to work and school, and find a new place to live in 48 hours.
The word that we have not used yet that we need to use is trauma. This is trauma for hundreds of residents.
Mm-hmm. 700.
Who still have to go to work, who
still
have
go to school.
Faithfully paid their rent.
Rent is usually due on the first of the month.
Did they pay a week ago? Oh, God, I would be so mad.
Yeah, they all just paid rent.
So everybody just paid rent, and then we're told we've got to move out. What am I going to use for a deposit when I just gave you the money I make for rent? Don't I deserve to have that back if I can't live here anymore and it's not my fault?
But what can the cities do? What can counties do to force these property owners to actually keep up the properties? We see it all the time. Independence Towers. I mean, we can list off five other apartment complexes in this city that just are riddled with issues.
Real quick, and the phones are blown up here. If you have not seen this apartment complex, I don't want you to think it's one building where everyone's moving out. A lot of these residents have garages, Scott. These are little, not even duplexes, almost like
Fourplexes.
So
you walk in one door, there's two apartments on the first floor, two apartments on the second floor.
You want me to believe that none of the water works anywhere? So we're kicking all 700 out? I don't think the city thought about this, Scott.
Well, I don't think what they did was think about the human suffering that's going to come with a 2-day, read that 48-hour warning to grab your kids, grab your stuff, and get out.
That's right. In the last few weeks, thank you, text line, the Cloverleaf Apartments in Kansas City and Grandview, 48-hour eviction notice.
I knew there was a Grandview story in the stack, because when Scott started talking about this, I go, the Grandview? And he goes, no, Gardner. There's two.
All right, Chris and the others, hang tight. 913-586-7798. We'll get with everybody in just a moment here on Dana and Parks. By the way, bravo to Grace Baptist Church in Gardner and everybody else who has rallied behind the residents of Aspen Place Apartments, who have been told you have until 6 o'clock tonight to vacate the apartment complex. They were notified on Tuesday that their apartments were uninhabitable and being condemned. 700 people live in those apartments. It's a 200 unit. I think you guys said 200 unit apartment complex, and everybody's been given until 6 o'clock tonight to move out. The congregants and volunteers with Grace Baptist Church in Gardner stepped up to the plate, and they are helping as best they can to provide meals and help these residents find a place to stay. Chris in Kansas City. Chris, hello.
Hello. Okay, so just real quick. I thought I heard on Middays a gentleman said they had no water since Sunday. That's why I think everyone's having to exit at such a fast pace. Not only that, the bigger thing would be is this building was built by the government for, I believe, some military, Navy or something. And it was only built for 40 to 50 years lifespan. So why didn't they destroy it after that? Or why didn't they invest money to make it have a longer lifespan?
It's a good question. And Chris, I looked up the Google reviews for this place. And honestly, over the past, starting about 6 months ago and back, most of the reviews are positive. There was one review that says there are water pressure issues here. Just so you know, the water's constantly being shut on and off. Everybody else said they had a great experience there. They loved it. Now, the last review, now it says permanently closed, was 6 months ago. So I don't know if it's gotten, you know, horrifically worse in the last 6 month span.
913-586-7798. Aaron on line two. Hello.
Hey.
Hi.
So the streets in that neighborhood are going to be privately owned. And so probably what happened when the fire truck fell through was because the water main had eroded the underneath the street. And so then it collapsed. So that's probably why they hadn't had any water pressure. And so it kind of make it a sinkhole. The company, which I'm not going to name, that owns this property only purchased it in 2022. So they may have been working on it. Who knows? It's a local company out of Lenexa. And so, you know, they could be trying to fix it. We don't know. Haven't heard their side of the story. But just like the clover leaves, I bet this property has been in disrepair for 20, 25 years, because I know that clover leaf had been. And so
the clover leaf in Grandview, which met a similar fate.
Correct. And so this isn't the first warning that this company has been given about this property. I guarantee that. Now, whether it was them or the previous owner, but you can only give so many warnings until it's, sorry, too late, this is it, line in the sand.
Of all the photos, and thank you, Aaron, for the call that just break my heart, you know, we mentioned the students. There are 80 students in the district who have now no place to stay or are bouncing all over the metro, staying with relatives or couch surfing.
Hopefully they have some friends from school.
Every single door, because all of these have their own door. They're more like a condominium. Every single door has the big pink, you know, not fit for habitation notice on it. And there's one door that on the front of the door, it was decked out for graduation, and it just says class of 2025. And the class of 2025 sign is now obstructed by that pink notice. It breaks my heart for those kids, but specifically the seniors who are set to graduate here in, what, a week?
Yeah.
And now you don't have any?
The seniors on my neighborhood block are all out of school going day to day and only have to return now for their finals. And I think my neighbor, senior across the street, her last full day, and this is at a private school, but her last full day was yesterday. And now I think she goes back for a couple more finals, but she, for all intents and purposes, she's done and out of school. Abby in Kansas City. Abby, hello. Welcome.
Hey, so not only does this suck, but how are these people even moving? There can't be 200 U-Hauls in the Kansas City area for people to even have the tools to move. And if the city had been ignoring this for, you know, 2 years, surely there is going to be some kind of class action suit against the city or even the owners, for that matter, with this many people.
It would have to be a suit against the owners, I think, not the city. And what the owner is going to do is declare bankruptcy.
Yeah, my guess is there probably are, to your point, Abby, my guess is around the city itself, there's probably more than 200 U-Hauls, but certainly in southern Johnson County, there's no chance in hell that there are more than 200 U-Hauls that are available. I will say this, in one of the pictures that Dana showed me, there is a Hy-Vee Isles Online truck that is being used to help some of the families move out.
And people have just come from all corners of Kansas City to do what they can to help. That doesn't mean they're going to be in a shiny brand new apartment in 48 hours, but, you know, helping with services, Salvation Army, Red Cross. How do you just, with 48 hours notice, upend everything? You still go to work. You've paid your rent, by the way, up to $1,600 for some of those condos.
You don't. It is physically impossible to find a new place to stay, to live, and move and work, and then move all of your belongings out. As somebody who was once a professional mover in my very young 20s, I would guess that moving out a family of three or four, you're talking anywhere between 10,000 to 15,000 pounds worth of stuff, which is actually, for a house, on the low end of furniture. That's a relatively small house. So you're looking at 10,000 to 15,000 pounds worth of stuff. You can't get 15,000 pounds of stuff into a small U-Haul. You can't.
Well, more than 48 hours to pack. It takes more than 48 hours to apply for another apartment, if you can even find one that you can afford. We had mentioned the pricing at this complex. That is on the low end, if not the cheapest in the area.
Now, to the cities, I'm trying to be fair here. The city says the neighborhood has no storm drains and raw sewage filters through the streets.
Unfortunate.
The water and sewer lines have consistently been repaired just with Band-Aids, okay? And when one line breaks, it's a domino effect and the other line breaks. The city says this is a safety issue. Safety pushed our hand, quoting here from the mayor, and that emergency services have no reliable way to respond.
But Dana, I don't dispute anything that the city's saying, and in the interest of being as fair as possible, did the city not realize that these apartments were tinkering on the edge of uninhabitability a month ago, 2 months ago? Could they have not said to the residents, hey guys, listen, City of Gardner here. These apartments are headed south and headed south fast. We're going to give you until the middle of May because we know a lot of you have students in the local schools, but you've got until the middle of May. And they could have done this in February or March and given these residents 2 to 3 months to find another place to live, put down their deposit, get financially set to move somewhere else, and then move their belongings.
Many of the residents have medical and mobility issues. Church of the Resurrection has stepped in.
Good.
And says the county is working with Gardner and local nonprofits to try and connect the residents with housing, medical care, transportation, among other needs.
The owners of that complex would never have let the city do what you just suggested, Scott, because they wouldn't pay the rent that next month.
Krista in Overland Park. Krista, hello.
Hi. I just have two quick points, and then I'll let you guys talk about them. One, I'm curious as to whether or not if we're saying that there's a six-month period where everything progressively got worse. I'm wondering if any of that has to do with our winters and how we know that, you know, we get potholes in the spring because of the snow and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering if that maybe progressively escalated the situation. And then, two, what happens if you have a tenant that's out of town this week? You know, if I'm out of town on vacation and I don't come back until Saturday, what do I do with my stuff?
You know, that's a hell of a good point, Chris, and I'm glad you made that. Let's say that I live alone in one of these units.
Many of them do, Scott, with no family.
And I'm an over-the-road trucker. And today I am in Savannah, Georgia, and have been on the road since Monday. I don't even know that my apartment complex has been condemned.
One of the women spoke with NPR, with KCUR here, showed various spots of water damage and mold in the kitchen ceiling, said she had been having water issues soon after moving in 5 years ago. She has, quote, not been able to shower or use the bathtub for the past 2 years and relies on friends for that. She uses a 5-gallon drum of water for flushing toilets.
From the text line, this is from 7909. I was in the Aspen Place apartment complex just 2 hours ago, nearly on the dot. There were probably 30 U-Hauls and trucks with trailers there 2 hours ago.
But to take their stuff where, Scott? And I'm so thankful they have the trucks and they have their stuff loaded.
Yeah.
Their property won't be stolen, you know. Right. But to go where?
What if they refused? What if a tenant refused to leave?
Well, the city has stepped in and said, we're condemning the building.
Well, I understand, but are you going to...
You would be trespassing in your own apartment,
but
basically.
But are the police going to physically remove you?
Very confusing that you can squat in somebody's home and it takes 8 to 10
right?
months to get you out, but city issues a 48-hour notice.
Yeah,
we're removing you.
Our 5 o'clock hour yesterday.
Great point, Sam. That's a great point. 913-586-7798, 586-7798. Hey, don't forget to check out the Dana Parks podcast. It is available anytime you want, anywhere you go. Just go to KMBZ.com. Strangely, this story is not out of Florida. It's out of Ohio.
Oh.
Which has kind of become Florida adjacent when it comes to weird news. ABC reporting that a woman has been arrested. Is this satire? A woman has been arrested after a raccoon named Chewy was found holding a meth pipe in the driver's seat of her car in what police are calling a strange encounter.
Would you like the audio?
Oh, yes, please.
Oh. Hey.
What?
God, come here.
Hello?
The raccoon has her meth pipe.
God.
Has what?
Oh, my God.
Her meth pipe. He's playing with the meth pipe right now. No, don't reach for it. That's evidence now.
Oh, I don't want him to have
that.
Well,
that's why I'm going to do it. Hey, buddy.
Huh?
It's okay.
Okay, you're on our end. He'll be here in 2 minutes. I'm right across from my office.
Is that what that is?
A few minutes?
Yeah. Okay. This is what she's smoking meth in.
Okay.
The raccoon's playing with her meth pipe.
All right.
Putting it up to its mouth, by the way.
Oh, there's no way. He's trying to smoke it.
All right. Thanks.
There's no way. All right. All right. Enough fun and games.
Here.
you.
Holy hell.
Chewy is a pet raccoon. It was not a wild animal. They did arrest 55-year-old Victoria Vidal of Akron, was able to detain her without incident. Vidal was charged with possession of drugs, three counts of possession of drug paraphernalia.
And one count of possession of a raccoon.
And was cited for driving under suspension, according to authorities.
So that's why they initially pulled her out of the vehicle, is that she had a suspended license and a warrant for her arrest for whatever reason. So they pulled her out of the vehicle, and that's when the officer happened to notice that Chewy had some interesting evidence in his
hands. You go to fill out that police report.
I can read it to you. I can read
you from it. Please.
Chewy, the raccoon, was unharmed, and notification was made to the proper authorities to determine that she has the proper paperwork and documentation to own the raccoon.
Do we actually think that's happening?
While our officers are trained to expect the unexpected, finding a raccoon holding a meth pipe is a first. We can assure you that no raccoons were hurt or injured in this incident, signed the Akron, Ohio Police Department.
Chewy was pretty cute.
Yeah. Yeah. Very cute. Bill Gates is pledging to donate all of his remaining fortune to the Gates Foundation. Sam, go ahead.
I just wish that we would quit this facade that rich people are so giving. Because I remember growing up and, oh, why does Bill Gates have so much money? Why does he need that much money? And somebody said, well, he donates billions of dollars every year. And then you look at where he donates it, and he donates it to the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Now, granted, they do some great things. They spend a lot of that money on philanthropic.
Yeah, why do you have to pee on all the good stories?
But do you know
who
has...
He's an angry little raccoon.
Do you know who has controlling power over all of the finances of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation that he's donating this money to? Bill and Melinda Gates. He's donating it to himself.
Look, Sam...
It's a facade.
Okay.
It's not a raccoon with a meth pipe.
That it's not.
So there's that.
She is right about that.
I will step down from my soapbox. Thank you.
Okay. Are you okay, buddy?
I'm great.
Okay. You sound a little frazzled.
Well, you know, I wish that I had that much money, but I don't.
I understand. All right. Before we head out of here, today is Motorhead Day. Oh. Yep. The 8th of May, they say, sounds like Ace of Spades, their biggest hit. So today is Motorhead Day. Yes, the heavy metal band. It's VE Day.
Yeah.
The day that the Allies had victory in Europe. The Academy of Country Music Awards are on tonight at 7 o'clock. Reba McEntire hosting for the 19th time. Celebrating birthdays today, Alex Van Halen is 72. Philip Bailey from Earth, Wind & Fire is 74. Bill Cowher is 68. And Tony Tennille from Captain and Tennille is 85 today.
Do that to me one more time.
We got to run. On behalf of our producer today, the finest man in these United States, the great Sam Stevie III, my good friend and singing co-host Dana Wright, my name is Scott Parks, and God willing, we're back tomorrow at 2 o'clock for Festivus Friday. Have a great night. Be safe, be well, and be good to one another. Good night.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.